Hi, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
Look, there's a little candle in the background on my screen.
Oh, yeah. Don't burn the place down.
It's a little ambiance.
I like it. I love that my anxiety just goes to the first negative. I'm like, you're going to burn your house down. Please don't do that. Oh, my God.
You just start screaming, get out of the house, Mike. There's a candle.
Oh, my God.
Supervise used only.
Yeah, I set the fire alarm off last night when I was making food and the kids were freaking out because there was like a lot of smoke. And I was like, this is scary. It's true. But guys, don't worry.
Yeah, there's a fire alarm that's right outside my kitchen. And if it gets at all, and I don't know what yours is like, but this one is so loud. It like pierces the ear.
Yeah, the kids hate it. They're very sensitive to sound.
Oh, no.
And they like hold their ears and cry and look at me like I'm, you know, throwing hot acid on them. But, you know, that's every kid's different. But my kids are real sensitive with sound. Both of them. Weirdos.
Interesting.
Yeah, like I can't take when we go to like a public restroom, we can't use the loud blower thing to dry your hands. They lose their shit. I hate it.
Gotcha. Wow. I mean, those can be kind of loud. The ones that are like accelerators.
Yeah.
So before we get into the week too much, I wanted to do this last week and then I totally forgot.
Tell me.
That we had a conversation a couple weeks ago about award season and how I prepare for it.
Oh, right. Yes, I love this.
And I feel like I was a little bit all over the place when there's a much simpler way. So I mentioned that I start lists, and the lists really usually start, I know I already said some of this, but I'm going to try to say it a little more succinctly because mm-hmm. I feel like I kind of talked about random stuff last time. So when the Golden Globes come out, I make my first actual list. I list all the nominees basically in every category. Golden Globes don't do technical categories, so it's just actors, directors, writers, and the films themselves. I don't so much concentrate on like necessarily score or songs, but I start the other categories. And then I just, as like the SAG Awards come out, mm-hmm. that's kind of like the main other one that I start changing the list and moving things up and moving it down. My whole point in saying this is that if I've done good work on that list with those two sets of nominees, mm-hmm. by the time the Academy Awards announce their nominations, I usually have very little left to see.
Oh, that's good.
Which is why I can then focus on things like, you know, editing and the categories like documentaries and animated, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a little more simple an explanation of how I managed to get so many things done before the Academy Award nominations even come out.
I shall follow your lead.
There you go. The end. I'm really curious about what's going on in LA now. I keep hearing all like crazy things, like you're not allowed to leave your apartment.
I mean, I just got one of, you know, those terrifying emergency alerts, like when it's usually like an amber alert
uh-huh.
on your phone and you're just like, oh shit, what the hell? Yeah, I just got one, stay home orders, like stay in your house kind of thing. I don't know. The cases are rising really high. There's not a lot of, you know, there's less and less beds in the hospitals. It is, this weekend was really hard. We stayed inside most weekend. We have a little backyard, but it's not really like, you can't really run around in it. You know, it's mostly like, it's a death trap for the children. Anyways, so it was just like I'm personally feeling really like a little bit trapped and I hate that feeling. So, but I'm trying to do my part and be a good citizen and not catch it. You know, our family has been pretty much at home because I have two little kids that you can't control. So I can't really take them anywhere. It's like that you just can't trust them. Like we haven't done any socially distanced hangouts because like they'll like come up and lick the person. You know what I mean? Like, well, not both of them, but the little one, the littlest one, you know? So it's been, you know, I honestly feel super lucky that I have the kids and Adam, but like, just because I think I go nuts, I'm like a hyper social person, but it's a lot of fear, a lot of feelings of being scared, and a lot of places, restaurants are closing down, and I know that's happened everywhere, but things, you know, small businesses are just going under. It feels really overwhelming, and I know we talked a lot last week about how this is like where it's getting bad and it's hopefully going to get better, but I don't know, I read an article today about like, you know, thinking about the vaccines as like a fire hose, but if the fire is raging, it's going to be way harder to control the fire. You know, if we have a little bit of control of the virus on our own, then great. But you know, it'll be faster to like nip it in the bud. Anyways, it's stressful. How about you? Are you still working? I mean, are restaurants still open where you're at?
Yeah, restaurants are still open. By the time this comes out in 2 days, that might not actually be true anymore. First of all, I'm going to send you a thing that a friend sent me on Instagram that kind of breaks down the next 12 months and kind of says, this is where we're going to be in December. This is where we're going to be. And it sort of tells you like, this is what to look forward to. This is what's not going to be happening.
Okay.
And it actually, though it's, we all want to be like, things are going to be great in the spring. They won't. But like, this sort of explains what will and what won't and kind of like what you can reasonably expect. So I'll send that to you.
Okay. I like that.
It's an interesting thing to read. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So they just, Cuomo just announced that something to the effect, it's dumb that I don't know this more specifically because it 100% is going to affect my life, that if cases continue to rise over, it was the next 5 days, but this was several days ago, that restaurants outside of New York City will be reduced to 25% capacity, which is what New York City is at right now. And restaurants in New York City will completely close down, at least indoor dining.
Okay.
But it's cold. It's cold out. I worked a shift the other night where it was like startling. I mean, people were sitting out there, which kind of like shocked me.
Yeah.
But it's getting cold. I mean, I know for a fact that people have been laid off from my job.
Yeah.
I think that's happening today. I don't think that I'm going to be one of them because I was one of the very small hand few that came back like the day that they reopened. So I think that,
right.
I think that will, but if restaurants close, it doesn't matter how early I came back because they're going to have to let everybody go.
Yeah. Oh my God. I hope that's not true. And I hope if that is the case, then I hope they have some sort of unemployment for people like the stimulus or the, you know, weekly stuff that they were getting before. Right.
Yeah. I think that we can maybe look forward to that. I don't think that anything is going to be directly given to workers in the next like month. I think it's going to have to wait until Biden is the president.
Right. God, it's scary.
Also, I went back to work right away and I still had like 2 months of unemployment left that I actually do have a safety net.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So I'll be fine. Good. I'll be fine for at least a few months. And that'll get us to like March and April when I think that outdoor dining will become a thing again. But it's going to be hard in December, January, February. Like, you know what the city's like. It's frigid.
It's so cold. And, you know, you do go out just because you're, even when there's no pandemic, you still go out and see people and see friends. But not being able to get together with people and just being stuck in an apartment will be tough for me, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. We've sort of discussed this that like I'm not a super extroverted person. Like I'm very good at kind of being on my own and being alone. Mm-hmm. But that said, I did get last week, I was off Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. And I did get to Wednesday and I sort of texted a group of friends and was like, hey, can we make some plans for next week? Like I didn't speak to a human being other than my roommates who are lovely people. But, you know, it's nice to talk to more than two people for like 3 days. Like I didn't see anybody. So, I mean, even as I say, it's frigid out. So I don't know how this is going to go, but I am meeting a friend for dinner tonight, like sort of an early-ish, like 6 o'clock dinner. So hopefully it's not crazy cold out. And I have plans with another friend tomorrow. Like I'm trying to like plan things.
That's actually really good advice. I think it feels scary to do that right now here, but I would love to plan because then at least you're looking forward to something. I don't know. I was talking to another friend who works in my industry and they just let go another round of people. I've just been keeping my head down and like doing what we're doing. It's like I forget that everybody's, you know, people are starting to really suffer out there. And it's like, I just wish that I knew how to fix it all. Obviously, that's my instinct is like, I'm going to fix this. But we need the government to help us and we need it to be a much larger effort.
Yeah, we really do. And yeah, we've talked about this and obviously others have talked about this, but like the trickle down, you know, you can talk about how, for instance, living in New York, Broadway theaters are closed and that is terrible for the actors and the orchestra and the stagehands and the people that like clean the clothes and the places they get those things from and the restaurants that depended on like the trickle effect of every little thing is huge.
Yeah, I know. Just trying to stay positive here a little, you know, but I do acknowledge that people are hurting out there and I'm sending my love to all. But yeah, just tough stuff, man.
Yeah, it's a tough balance between because I also, yeah, of course, you want to like maintain as healthy an attitude as possible while acknowledging that things are tough. I don't know. It's a tough balance.
Yeah. So that's the week. I mean, kind of like otherwise, just same old thing. I still started my new job, so I'm working on that, which is really fun and exciting and nerve-wracking because it's like you want to be good at it. And navigating online. I mean, I've worked online before, you know, like with Zoom meetings and things like that before in the real world. But it is kind of crazy when that's the only thing you have. It's like, hi, nice to meet you. Just should we hop on a video chat just so we can see each other's faces? Great. Okay.
Yeah, it was funny. A friend of mine is working on like the development of a play. And so they had some kind of, I need to clarify with him because I don't fully understand what's going on because I thought it was like the final performance, but they're still rehearsing. Mm. Anyways, it was very last minute. So I ended up not being able to like attend the show. Mm-hmm. But even as I went to do it, it was through Zoom and it was like, register your email. It was just, everything's just weird. Everything's just like a little more complicated. And so I ended up not, I was like, next time I'll figure it out ahead of time. But yeah, I haven't done a lot of the Zoom stuff, but we did, before the restaurant opened, we did like a huge Zoom thing where it was like 20 of us all seeing each other and talking. And yeah, mm-hmm. it's the Zoom thing is very strange.
I know. To me. I know. You know what I'm trying to do? So we talked last week how I miss my family. And so I was like, how can we make, so my family, we celebrate Christmas. And so I was like, how can we make this fun? You know, I had this whole idea for this if the pandemic wasn't happening, but we usually go up to Washington State where our family lives. And I had this, I think personally, a really good idea because I'm trying to be like better about not being wasteful. So I had this idea of like everyone picks a hat, everybody in the family picks from a hat and you are assigned a person to get a gift for, right? But this year was going to be, which we didn't do, I wanted it to be, you have to get something used. So it has to be, you know, something from the thrift store, something antique, something, maybe it could be something you made, but like, you know, that kind of thing. How fun would that be, right? Well, we didn't do it, so.
Yeah, I do. I like that a lot. We don't really do presents in my family. My siblings and I kind of stopped doing presents. And then for a while we were buying for one person, but that even that kind of became like, I don't know. We just weren't, we sort of like let the present thing go.
What about the kids? Because you got to get the kids stuff, right?
Right. The kids get stuff. But like, I'm so like, even my nieces and nephews are all in their like 20s and 30s now.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So like, some of them have kids that are now very, very young. So some of them get presents. But yeah, the gap between like me and a child is, you know, now multi-generational almost.
No, I know, totally. Well, and also I'm just thinking like in lieu of like presents this year, I'm going to send little things, but you know, I want to see everybody's faces. So like I was thinking about doing a couple days of Zoom, like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and like having, you know, because otherwise you just get on there and God love people over 60, but it's like tinkering and trying to figure out how to do whatever. So it takes an hour to get like everybody in a safe space. But I would love to have like every family sing a song or something entertaining, Christmassy, fun. I don't know if my family would be into it, but I'm going to try and force that this year. And games.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do for Christmas. I mean, I'll be here and I'll be...
Join my family Zoom. Join my family
maybe,
Zoom.
Maybe I'll do that. You know, my mom doesn't know... I've thought about trying to figure out how to get her to set up Zoom on her computer. I don't know. I don't know how easy that is to explain to someone else.
Well, could one of your siblings come over and do it? That's what should happen because I don't think she'd...
Yeah.
Probably could do it herself. I mean, maybe.
Maybe that's what I'll do. Yeah, I know that one sibling is... One of my sisters goes and sees her at least once a week. So
that's great.
Maybe I'll see if she can figure that out.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen my mom's face in almost a year.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, you need that. Does she have, I mean, no, never mind. I'm not going to get into this technical. I mean, that's Vanya trying to solve problems again. I'm like, does she have an Android or an iPhone? Like, just kidding.
I actually don't know. She doesn't have an iPhone. I kind of wish that we'd gotten her an iPhone. She has some other, she just got a new phone because she wanted something that had GPS on it. So I know she has like a nicer phone. I wonder if I can like get her to tell me exactly what kind it is. Maybe I can research that see what the options are.
I believe in you. Yeah. I will be waiting with bated breath to hear how it goes until next week on next week's episode.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Anyway, so I guess that's the week.
And that's the week.
So my what I'm digging this week is...
Well, yeah, what are you digging?
All right. So let me just start off by saying, yeah, I watched a movie last night that I've been kind of wanting to watch for a while. And I think partly because I do like the cast and I've been kind of becoming more and more familiar with this writer and director. And her name is Mariel Heller.
Okay.
So she plays the mom on The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, I'm obsessed with her. You mean she plays this adopted mom, right?
Sorry, yes, I should clarify. She plays the adoptive mom on Queen's Gambit.
Did you know who she was before this?
So, yes, I did. And the reason why I knew who she was is because I'm aware of her. I didn't really know that she was an actress. I know her as a director and sometimes writer. And I must have heard her. She must have been on a podcast or something. I listen to a podcast called Script Notes, and they oftentimes will have like writers, other writers on. And I must have heard her on that maybe. But she's directed a bunch of films that I've really enjoyed. She directed that Melissa McCarthy movie, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Oh, yeah. I need to see that. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my gosh. It's kind of a tough, not tough in a bad way. Like, it's tough because Melissa McCarthy is so good.
Yeah, she's...
Because the character's kind of a terrible person, and, like, you actually care about her. So definitely worth seeing. She also directed that Tom Hanks movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, where he plays...
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. Thank you. Terrible.
It's a beautiful day.
So I'd been sort of aware of her as a director, but I also knew that one of the first, or I think the first thing that she really did was she wrote, as a director at least, she wrote and directed a film called Diary of a Teenage Girl. And I'd never seen it, and I just watched it last night. And I will say this, it is tough.
Okay.
It's based on, I believe, a graphic novel that is based on the true experiences of a woman who, when she was 15 years old, had a love affair with her mother's boyfriend.
Oh, God. Okay.
So it was tough. A lot of it was really tough to watch because clearly the actress who's playing her is in her 20s, but she looks very, very young. And so to watch her go through these, and it's very graphic.
Really?
So I definitely had moments of like, I had moments of like, oh, should I be looking at this? This is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
but it was very, very well made. It's the woman who plays the lead, her name is Belle Powley.
Okay.
And she's actually British, but does a very, very convincing American accent. But the Kristen Wiig plays her mother. Alexander Skarsgård plays the mother's boyfriend. So it's a really, really good cast. But it's just very well made. I'm not saying that this movie is what I dug. And I'm not even 100% saying... I do want to say Mariel Heller. Like, I'm digging her. I'm digging her as a writer and director. I just think that she has such an interesting voice and such a... Specific is the wrong word, but just her vision, I think, is very, very interesting.
Right, like her point of view.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So her specifically, this might sound a bit broad, but like female writers and directors in general, I feel like we're so very recently coming into a time when we're letting women tell not just women's stories, but sort of women telling women's stories.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with a male director telling a female story. Or like, I think that it's, I don't think that, much as I don't think that you have to be a specific thing to play a specific thing.
No, I know what you mean, though. I actually get irritated when it's like, you know, maybe if there's more female directors and writers out there, I'll feel less irritated in the years to come. But like when I watch a movie and it's all like a coming of age story of a girl, and then it's like some guy directed it, I'm like, come on.
Yeah, and it can be done well. I mean, obviously, I can think of examples where been really successful. But like you look at like Greta Gerwig's Little Women that just came out and how like assuredly directed that was, and how I think that her voice and her vision was so different that there are things about that movie that worked that I actually don't think have ever really worked before.
Right.
So anyways, let's let women do more things. That's kind of what I'm saying.
I agree. I love that. Okay, well, then I'll tell you what I'm digging this week. Sounds good?
What you digging?
Okay, so I am... Mm-hmm. Okay, I called Mike last night. We did our little rundown and I was like, Mike, I'm gonna watch a horror movie. And you were like, okay.
Ooh, I was going to ask about this.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but okay, so I was going to watch Midsommar, which I really, really wanted to. And I've heard good things about it. I've heard it's amazing. I do get like freaked out really easily, but it's supposed to be shot beautifully and all these things. Well, by the time we got our children to bed, it was like getting late and it's an over 2-hour movie. And I was like, well, maybe we won't. Yeah, and my husband was like, yeah, maybe not. So instead, we finished the second season of this docu-series on Netflix called Song Exploder. Have you heard of this?
It's funny. I only know of it because the main guy was one of the hosts.
Hirsch Kesh Hirway.
Yeah. He was the co-host of the West Wing Weekly podcast with Joshua
isn't
Molina.
Oh, that funny? Oh, that's so funny. So Song Exploder, before it was on Netflix and like a, you know, a video, it was a podcast that he created. And yeah, so, well, basically what it is, what the podcast is and the docuseries on Netflix, it's where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. And they're only like 25 minutes long. Alicia Keys has one. I just watched Dua Lipa's. I love it so much. It brings me so much joy to hear how people, you know, create their art. And it's really fun too, because Hirshkesh gets like the original track, so they will just play like the drums, and then they sort of show how the, you know, then they layer and kind of dissect it, like if the musician starts talking about it. Anyways, I'm loving it. I highly recommend. I think it's like a little piece of joy for in 25 minutes.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. That definitely is something that sounds like it's right up my alley. That's definitely something that I should be watching.
And I just love, and the other thing, this is I sing karaoke for my own creative, or not my own creative, for like basically like as therapy a little bit. Like I have a mic. I mean, it's literally me just singing to the TV, a mic, and I have a little speaker or whatever. The other night I was feeling, when all of the, you know, new lockdown stuff is coming up, I was getting more stressed out. And so I was like, I got to sing it out. I'm going to sing it out. I'm going to have a cocktail and sing. And so I started to sing Michael Bolton. You said I loved you, but I lied. And I'm telling you, I had so much fun. Adam and I, we sang Michael Bolton. We went on to Lionel Richie. You know, it was just, and then actually ended in Journey. And that was joyful. And sometimes when you're at like a karaoke bar or whatever, and you're like, God damn it, someone's singing Journey again. But you know what? It's fun. That's, I just want to put that out there. If anybody's feeling depressed, sing a little song.
That's fine. That's a very good idea. We used to do karaoke in like the private rooms, and that was always really fun.
Yes, that was my favorite thing. I would take Mike, and it's basically like a couch and the karaoke screen, but it was down. It was right by where I did all that comedy, and I can't remember what comedy club it was, but it was like two doors down or something like that. And it was cheap. It was like $14 an hour. You had to buy drinks and things like that, but we could sing. He and I would just sing for an hour, and then we'd be hoarse afterwards. Yeah. Well, I would be hoarse because I don't know how to hold my breath properly. but that was so fun. Oh my God.
Yeah. Good times. Well, I mean, those, yeah, I guess the thing I could do without this week is kind of maybe dumb, because it's all those things that we can't do.
Yeah.
And I guess that's similar to what yours was last week. It's not even just seeing people. It's that we can't do the things that we used to do. And it's so necessary right now. Like, it's so necessary for all of us to make those sacrifices.
Right.
And to not do the things that we want to do that are unhealthy for us right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of got really bummed about that over the weekend. I was thinking like all those little things that we want to do. And I think part of that was because the holidays are coming. And I just think like,
sure, yeah,
none of us can do the things we want to do right now. And while it's necessary, it's just such a bummer.
It's such a bummer. I actually, you know what, this week's, we're just going to call it, instead of what I could do without, is what I'm missing. Because what I'm missing this week is I miss a library. I love the library. I love going in. I take the kids get to pick out a book. I love the smell of the pages. I love to hold a book in my hand. I'm not a Kindle user yet. I haven't gone that route. I have in LA, there's an app, it's called Libby, and you can check things out that way. You know, some are audiobooks, some are, you know, on the screen, but it's just not the same thing. And I miss a library. That's what I miss.
I feel that it's really funny because I don't use the library very much in New York. I sort of like went through a phase when I was using a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I walk by them now and I think that you can like sort of use them virtually, but you can't really go in. And I did get really bummed out about that. I remember just thinking like, all of these, along with theaters, you think about all these huge places that are just like
empty
or not functioning in what they're supposed to be functioning. And that's very sad to
right.
me.
Because not only does the library, you know, you check out books or whatever, you know, it is a place of community. Once a week I would take my son and we, you know, you do the little playtime, the story time, and then the kids kind of play with things and crawl around and you sort of look at other moms and dads in like, you're tired too, right? I'm tired too. This sucks. Parenting sucks. So you just don't have that like communitas, which is like so necessary when you're raising small children. I love you, libraries. I love you, librarians.
And they're a place of so many other resources that maybe we don't think about, but it's a place where some people have to go when they want to use the internet.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. So it's going to get better. I'm going to keep saying that. I know, things that we're missing. Maybe that's just our series. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. But again, I know I say it every time, but I'm so happy to have this moment with you every week. It's just so lovely. And I am feeling very close to our listeners too, because a lot of people reach out and are, I feel like we are connecting with y'all in the way as well. So that's nice. I like it. Connection. That's what I want.
Yeah. You're a lot better at that than I am. But know that if you're someone who's reaching out, like, you do pass things along to me, I guess, is what I wanted to say. But like, you see things and then you pass them to me. So I do see them. I'm not as good at that. Where do people tend to reach out? Is it on Instagram usually?
Yeah, mostly on Instagram. Just for this far. Oh, guys, rate and review us on iTunes if you can. We're just a meager little company. Actually, we're not a company. We're just two friends. But we'd love to get more listeners and more connections.
Yeah, we sort of had... We've said this here before, that we just sort of set out to do something that we wanted to do together. And it's not about like growing a huge audience, but you know, it's fun that people listen, and it'd be fun if more people listen. So yeah, please do it. Give us some stars and say something nice and
I love it.
Tell
I love
a friend.
Comedy.
It's funny. Not something that we're pushing really hard, but it is nice to be able to share with more people.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, what's our topic this week?
So our topic this week, I hope doesn't seem trite, but I just wanted to, so I have a very long hall in my apartment. My apartment is kind of like a railroad, but not where you have to walk through each room to get to the next one. There's just like the long hall, and then all the rooms are off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I over the last couple of weeks have sort of like redone it. Like I bought movie posters and frames and like lights that light them up. And I bought like picture frames, and I printed out a bunch of pictures of friends, and I kind of organized them. So my hallway is really, really cute right now.
I love that.
And two of the three picture frames are the movies that I consider my favorite films of all time.
Yes.
And the movies that I actually do watch from time to time that like give me joy and give me peace. So that's what, I'm gonna tell you the topic first, and then I'll talk about mine, because I never give you time to prepare for this, and I probably should. But I want to talk about movies. Like, we were talking about the award season coming, and I love the award season, but I also just love movies. Like, I miss going to a movie theater. And I know that a lot of things are gonna end up being online this year, and I'm already thinking about like there's this movie with Kate Winslet and Saoirse Ronan called Ammonite, I think it's called, and I really want to see that, and I think it's already on. Like, you can demand it or whatever. But I want to talk about, so like, pick a movie or two that like you just love. Like, what, it doesn't have to be your favorite movie, though. I'm going to go with my two favorites and talk about them kind of quickly. So my two favorite movies, well, one of them is the one that I definitely say if Oprah asks, and it's The Color Purple.
Yes.
I love it so much. I remember growing up and my grandma Jensen would not watch it. She called it a feel bad movie.
Oh.
But I always describe it as a feel everything movie. Like, there are definitely like super, super sad moments and super like mournful, but like there are moments of such pure joy. Like, and it's such a, I mean, I feel like I can probably call it like basically a perfect movie.
Yeah.
You know, they tone down some of the lesbian elements from the book, because in the book she's very clearly, you know, has a lesbian relationship. And
it's a great book.
It's such a good book. I mean, truly, truly, like, such a brilliant, brilliant novel by Alice Walker. So good. But they do a good job, I think, of turning it into a film, and I just love it, and it brings me a lot of joy. And this isn't sort of neither here nor there, but I love the artwork of the poster, so I love that it's hanging on my wall.
Yeah.
And then its companion that's right next to it is Contact, the movie that came out, I think, in 97. It's with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey and Angela Bassett. And it was directed by Robert Zemeckis. It was sort of his follow-up to Forrest Gump. So I think he had a lot of clout that he was like, I can make whatever movie I want, however I want to make it. And it, you know, it did fine. It did well at the box office. It wasn't a huge smash. And people were sort of divided about it because it didn't have any, it's like a space movie with no aliens. And I was like, that's not the point of the movie. But I love it so much. And that's also based on a book, a brilliant book by Carl Sagan. I love that. It's one of my favorite novels too.
Mm.
And they changed a lot when they made the film. But I think that the, what always strikes me about it, I have very, very fluid to not wonderful relationship with religion.
Sure.
And yeah. I do think that religion and spirituality are two different things. But even with spirituality, I have things that I believe and things that I like. But I also am a little bit like, I don't know, I need to flip the magnet, maybe. I have that tendency to kind of like back away from things.
Sure.
But what I love about Contact is that it's a movie. It's a deeply, in my opinion, a deeply spiritual story about an atheist.
Mm.
So yeah. Those are just two movies that I love. I can't recommend them enough. If you haven't seen them, check them out. They bring me a lot of joy. So there you go. What are there any films that you turn to that maybe are your favorite, maybe aren't, but you turn to them?
Yeah, I definitely. I was thinking about this recently because I think I saw it on either HBO Max or Netflix. But one of my favorite movies from 2002 was the movie Frida.
Oh my gosh.
With Salma Hayek. And it was directed by Julie Taymor and sort of depicts the life of Frida Kahlo and her husband Diego Rivera. But the way it's made, and if anybody knows Julie Taymor, she was the one who first directed The Lion King on Broadway, right? And she also did some crazy other movies. I followed her for a while. Oh God, I forget. She did the one Shakespeare.
I think it was Titus.
Yes, Titus Andronicus, but it's called Titus, the movie.
I never saw that. Yeah, oh, I never saw that one.
It's everything she does is like artistic and beautiful and just like so Julie Taymor, you know? But I think Salma Hayek was amazing in this performance, in this movie. She just, it made me feel like it was nice to see somebody on screen that's not just, you know, a white lady or whatever. It's nice to see different cultures and to know that there are parts out there. And especially back in even 2002, there's like not much. So it's And she herself, Selma, raised the money for this. And obviously there's the whole story of the Harvey Weinstein where, you know, she got the deal with him and he wanted more like sex in the scene, in the thing. And she really fought hard not. And he like basically pressured her. Anyways, what a dick. I'm so glad that the movie came out as good as it did, even with his assholeness. But whatever, he's gonna die in jail. So I think Frida is one of my favorite. The music is good. They use collage and transition. It's just the greatest. And yeah, and also Alfred Molina, who plays Diego Rivera, is amazing in it as well. It's just good, guys. I'm telling you. And Frida's life is amazing. It's
a great film.
She's an incredible person. I, someday, when the world comes back, would love to go visit her home in Mexico City where her and Diego had like a bridge. They had both had different houses, but they had a bridge that they would meet in the middle to, I don't know. Fuck. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Sorry for that naughtiness, but they like to get down. And then, you know, I think that's like one of my favorites that I can think of. And then another, I love comedy so much. And there's this movie called Wanderlust. And I'm sure I've told you about it. So Jennifer Aniston is in it. And it is directed by David Wayne. That's right. And Ken Marino's in it. He's so hilarious. Paul Rudd, you guys. Paul Rudd also produced it. He's so good. It's just like, it's so dumb, but it's also like the plot is basically Paul Rudd and Linda, who is played by Jennifer Aniston. They buy a loft in New York and then he loses his job. And so they have like, they lose everything. They had just bought this home. They go to the brother's house, but on their way, they find a sort of like a, not a cult, maybe a commune.
Yeah.
Good stuff, guys. I'm telling you. If you want to laugh and if you like a little bit of strange, I'm surprised it didn't do better than it did personally. But, and that's where Jennifer Aniston met Justin Theroux, her now ex-husband. But, oh, and Catherine Hahn is in it. She's so good.
Yes. I was going to say it if you weren't going to say it.
And Alan Alda.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's brilliant.
Catherine Hahn. Oh, God, I love her.
I know. I might watch that like later on today because it just brings me damn joy.
Yeah, I watched you. I mean, not that you made me watch it, but you presented that film to me.
I made him.
You may have made me watch it. You know who I think is delightful?
Who?
Jennifer Aniston.
I do too. I am on her side. I really, really like her.
I'm a Jen Ann fan.
I am a Jen Ann fan too. I like everything she does.
Do you have a random fact?
I think I had one yesterday and I forgot. Do you?
So I do, and it's really weird.
Great.
Because I had one that I was going to talk about that was just sort of a weird like award season trivia, but I'm going to save it for next week because
okay, great.
I was listening today to Kate Winslet is on Fresh Air with Terry Gross.
Oh, nice.
And I was saying that she's in a new movie that I really want to see, and it takes place in the 1800s. And it's not weird. It's actually just like a disturbing thing that I think that I hadn't really thought about. But Terry Gross brings up in this film where Kate Winslet and Saoirse Ronan end up having a love affair. And as recent as the 1800s, and I know that that sentence might seem weird, but y'all, the 1800s weren't that long ago.
Right.
It was not believed that a woman could have any kind of sexual satisfaction or gratification.
Ew.
Yeah, like it was a fundamental belief by like physicians that women did not have sexual gratification as a possibility.
That seems insane to me. Yeah. People had orgasms back then. People have had orgasms since the beginning of time. It doesn't necessarily, you know, I mean, I know it's harder for others to attain it as a female maybe, but I mean, it's not that hard for me anyways. But what I'm saying is like, how were they lying? Like the women were like, oh no, I really hate this. This is for procreation only.
I don't know. I will say that my web history now is very weird because I did do a lot of research on like women's sexual satisfaction. Yeah. Wikipedia, sexual pleasure. There's some interesting stuff that pops up.
Amazing.
But yeah, I just think that I guess my overall point in bringing that up is that I feel like it is 100% appropriate to get frustrated about the way that women are treated in society, much like it's 100% appropriate to be upset about how minorities are treated in society. But sometimes I do put my brain to like, it wasn't that long ago that things were like so much worse.
Right. That's true.
And it's, you can't possibly separate in my mind, like it was only a few generations ago where people thought 100% different things.
Right.
I'm not saying this as eloquently as I want to. I'm saying we keep pushing, we keep going for progress, but like, sometimes it is stunning to think how recently things were so different than they are now.
Yeah. No, I hear that. Even like a couple generations back. Yeah. Yeah. No,
I
get that.
And I guess my other point is that you can't ignore the fact that people are still, like women are still being treated a certain way because of beliefs that are not that long ago.
Yeah.
Part of the norm. So anyways, it just sort of like blew my mind when I heard. I actually rewound it like 3 times because I was like, wait, what did you say? But yeah, there you go. That's my crazy thing that I wanted to talk about.
That is amazing. Well, okay, so I have a random fact just about me that if you don't know, I was once stuck in an elevator for 5 hours. That's my random fact. Mike knows this story, but I was going, living in the same building as Mike. We had our apartment on the 7th floor and Mike was on the 2nd floor and your parents were visiting New York at the time. And long story short, but Mike's dad was my middle school teacher and also my theater teacher. So I like revered him on high. Like I loved him and I wanted to, you know, make him think I was awesome, like a good kid, you know, all the time, whatever. And I had just quit smoking for like the 7th time. This is many years ago. Anyways, long story short, I'm so sorry, but I got stuck in the elevator, missed my flight. I was supposed to go see my family. I was so excited because I missed them so much. And I was stuck in the elevator with 10 people and luggage and I missed it. So anyways, they couldn't get me on another flight. So I rode the A train all the way back home, all the way to Harlem. And it was outside, like just sobbing and smoking. And your parents walked down and I was like, oh my God. Mr. Jensen knows I smoke. Kill me now. So that's my random fact.
That's really good. I totally remember that day. It was my parents' first day. They used to visit once a year and they had arrived that day. And it was kind of sad because you were leaving the day they were arriving.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be seeing each other. And then we came out of the subway and you were in front of our building smoking and like crying.
Yep.
And you looked over and saw us and like the defeat, like you just saw like the shame like washed over you.
Yeah, it was a hard day. I'll be honest. It was probably one of the hardest, worst days of my life because that shit's scary, guys. That shit is scary. But
yeah.
I lived to tell.
She lived to tell. I don't think I've ever been trapped for that long, but I've definitely been trapped in an elevator. And you definitely have that sense of like,
is this going to ever stop?
Not knowing when it's going to end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this going to be forever?
Is this going to be forever? Well, that was kind of a sad note to end on, but it was lovely talking to you.
You too, guys. I am excited. Let's just make this week the best we can. Oh, God. Send him a love. Send him a love. Yeah, to
find
everybody.
Something fun to do. Watch Wanderlust. Watch Wanderlust. Or whatever. Listener, whatever your favorite movie is, watch it.
I'm going to do it.
There's a new-ish Netflix movie by Aaron Sorkin called The Trial of the Chicago 7, I believe, and it's very good.
Worth it. It's really going to be good.
Yeah, and it's going to be part of the awards season for sure. So that's definitely another one that I can recommend checking out. It's a very good film that is kind of annoyingly topical today.
Yeah, no, it's true.
So there you go.
Very true.
Everyone, try to do something fun this week. Enjoy yourself. I love you to pieces.
I love you to pieces.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not, with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at mikeandvanyacantnot@gmail. We'll be back next week. This is really, really random, but it just caught my eye.
What?
I don't even know where this came from. I have this hand sanitizer, and the name of the hand sanitizer is I Don't Want Germs on My Hands.
Oh my God.
Where did it feels a little on the nose. I have no idea where it came from.
I don't want germs on my hands either. Oh my God. Jesus. Oh, that's so funny.
So weird.